entail and everything, and I just asked her, I said, well, do you own a pair of steel-toed boots? And she looked at me like I had three heads, wondering why I would ask such a ridiculous question, and then I just went on to explain to her that, well, I'm going to be stepping on your toes a little bit, so you might want to wear some steel-toed boots. The next thing I wanted to share was last week when Mark Ward, my friend, was closing, he actually referred to me as Pastor Will, and I am not a pastor, in case you guys didn't know that. I'm not a pastor, but, however, I do feel like when God calls me to do something that I try to respond to the best of my ability. Because sometimes you're going to be asked to do things that you don't want to do. Sometimes you're going to be asked to do things that maybe you're uncomfortable doing. But if you're called to serve God for the sake of the gospel, you're going to experience those things. So what I want to talk about today is deception. The title of this message, if it has a title, is to do not be deceived. So what happens when we allow ourselves to be deceived? We start believing our own thoughts and opinions above God's word. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, it tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but yet we do all the time. And how much trouble that can get us into. But the fact is that we've been deceived since the beginning of creation. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the first thing that happened when we were deceived was that it separated us from God. So the first deception is what separated us from God, and we can just simply call this sin. So the first account of deception happens in the Garden of Eden when Satan had Eve questioning what God had actually said. And so because of this, because of man's disobedience, we were banished from the Garden of Eden, and the first sin was a result of man being deceived. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, this is Satan talking to Eve, and he says, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The first thing that Satan does is he has his question God's word. He asks Eve, is this what God really said? And I think sometimes that can creep into the back of our minds too, is if we don't go to the word, is Satan will ask you, well, is that what God really said? And then skip down to Genesis 3:13. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So right there you have it. The fall began with deception. Eve admits that she let the Satan speak to her instead of remembering what God had said, and she was deceived. And then Isaiah 59, verse 2, shows us how we're separated from God. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So not only can we allow the enemy to creep in and have us question what God says and he deceive us, but we can also deceive ourselves. Another slippery slope. So James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. To me, this verse basically just says, this is an example of not only just walking, not only just talking the talk, but walking the walk. If you believe what the Bible says, if you believe that it's truth, then you won't just read it, but you'll actually do what it says. You'll put your money where your mouth is. You'll actually act out these things that you read about. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So when we're being led by the flesh and not by the Spirit, we deceive ourselves into thinking what we are doing is good. We are keeping our mind on earthly things and not heavenly things. And I've used this scripture many times before, but mainly when it just pertain to your giving and your tithing, but not until that I started to prepare for this message did I really think about what it means when it's saying, do not be deceived, and it goes on to talk about reaping what you sow. So in the context of your giving and being a generous person and everything, if you're being a generous person and sowing into the church, into the kids' ministry, into things like that, those are the things that the Spirit desires and not your flesh. But it can also, when it says that God cannot be mocked, He knows what you're up to. He knows what you're doing. You may put on a show for somebody or for something or really for anyone that just looks like what you're doing is good when in fact it's not. That's why it says God cannot be mocked. He knows what kind of seed you're sowing, and He knows what you're going to reap. Going back to that point about setting your mind on earthly things, on heavenly things and not earthly things, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So like I said earlier, the fall of mankind began with deception, but the end of mankind will also begin, I'm sorry, the deception of mankind will also bring the end. My note here, I say, the fall began with deception. The end will begin with deception. Jesus warns his disciples many times not to be deceived. I wanted to go through and count how many times Jesus warns his disciples not to be deceived. And it's multiple times. I can't tell you how many times he says, do not be deceived. He may go on to speak a parable. He may go on to speak about something. But many times he warns his disciples not to be deceived. And we see them in the Gospel of Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. When he's talking to his disciples in this moment, he's talking about the end. He's talking about his second coming after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's saying, in the end, there will be many people coming claiming that I am the Christ, but don't let them deceive you. Another part that talks about the end is 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 10. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceived those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So I know that I've said this before, and I know that I've talked to people about this before, about how this day and age in the church is that we want to see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that God has for us. Amen. And we should seek those things, but we need to test those things to see if they are from God and that they're not false. You don't have to look very far today to see that the world deceived in all kinds of ways. Amen? Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen? I think you could find that today pretty easily. John 8:44, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of all lies. So now that I've kind of beat you up a little bit with all the doom and gloom, here's the good stuff. This is where we get to the good stuff. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Some translations even say, for God is not a God of disorder. So I want to say, if you ever find yourself confused about something, conflicted about something, not knowing what direction to go, just know that that's not from God. God doesn't want you confused. It says right there, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. But to know But to seek the truth, you must seek him through the word. I think we live in a world today where we're going back to the beginning of the message, is we want to believe our own opinions and thoughts above God's. And that's where we get in big trouble. That's when we deceive ourselves. That's when we allow the enemy to come in and to deceive us. But we must always go to the word of God. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John 8, 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 14, 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that about sums it up right there. If we just know what the way is, what the truth is, and what the life is, that's how we find our way to the Father. It's not through the world. It's not through our own opinions or our own understanding, but it's through the Word of God. So I want to just encourage everybody this morning that even though you may think that your own thoughts are truth, that your own opinions are truth, we must seek God's Word and seek Him for the ultimate truth, because that's going to be the only thing that can save us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray over this congregation this morning, God. I ask that we would examine ourselves, Father, to just reflect and ask ourselves if we've been deceived. Father, to ask ourselves if we have deceived ourselves. And in this moment, let's just have a conversation between yourself and God. If you've been deceived, that's okay, because the word says that everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you feel like you've been deceived or you've deceived yourself, you allowed the enemy to come in and reap lies into your life, reap things into your life that aren't true, just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is just a conversation between you and God. You can ask for his forgiveness. You can ask for him to give you this truth, and the truth will set you free. Father, I just lift up everybody here this morning, God, that we would repent. Father, that we would turn to you. That we would know that you are the author and giver of life, God. That we know that the truth only comes from you. That we won't lean on our own understanding, God. That we will just seek you and acknowledge you in everything we do. And God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody wants to stand, we'll do another short closing prayer and be dismissed. Father, I thank you again for everybody that's here this morning, God. I pray that we would just, like James 1:22 says, God, that we would not deceive ourselves, that we would read our word and do what it says. God, I pray for us throughout this week, God, that we would just seek your truth. Father, that we would do what the word says, to preach the gospel to all creation. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody have a good week.